This passage in Matthew comes right after the baptism of Jesus. And we recall that in his baptism, the Spirit hovers over him like a dove, and a voice of the Father is heard from above saying, "This is my Son, my beloved." And Jesus hears that he is the Son and that he is loved. And he trusts that. And immediately the Spirit sends him out into the desert to spend 40 days and 40 nights fasting and praying to solidify that memory, to solidify the rootedness of that word in his heart and in his being. And so after 40 days, the devil tempts him, but he is secure by then in his identity as Son and in his being loved. And so he's able to resist the temptations of the devil. And the temptations are three, because they're with all of us, it's with the human race. The temptation to fill our stomachs, you know, to worry about hunger. And, you know, hunger, we don't worry about that so much in this culture, but we are aware that throughout the world there are many people who are hungry every day. And part of our fasting during Lent is that rice bowl notion of giving up one meal a week and putting the money that it would have taken for that meal into that rice bowl. And then at the end of Lent, on the Mass of the Lord's Supper on Holy Thursday, bringing that and laying it before the altar. And the second temptation, of course, is to some kind of security that, you know, throw yourself off this temple because God will send his angels to catch you. The temptation, the desire really to be free of any trouble, to be free of any failure, to be free of any harm. And so we try to build security. This is what bank accounts and insurance policies and all of that, savings for retirement, and these are all necessary things, but they can become idols too. And it's just like eating is necessary to be human, but it can become an idol. And the third one, of course, is power and glory in this world, the kingdoms of this world. And so, you know, we're tempted to hang on to our degrees and our titles and our job descriptions and all those kinds of things that puff us up and make us feel worthy somehow and significant. And really, our significance and our trust and our security, all three of those, they really ultimately come from God, because we're children of God and we're loved by God. And so we don't have to build false loves. We don't have to build false securities. We don't have to fill ourselves with things from this world, because ultimately we're just like the Son, Jesus, who is the type for the new humanity. I love what Paul is saying there. He's talking about two different types. Adam is the type for all sinful humanity. And because of his sin, everyone is condemned. But Jesus is the type for the new humanity, and because of his obedience, all are obedient. In other words, grace is more powerful than sin. And we can get discouraged by our own weakness and our own sin and the sin of the world, and it's easy to get hopeless because it just doesn't seem like the problems in the world can ever be resolved. And yet we're really not ultimately from this world anyway. We are people of the kingdom. We are people of that new creation, and we have immersed ourselves in the waters of death and the waters of baptism, dying with Christ, because we trust that we will also rise with him and share in his glory forever. Now, the first reading, of course, is about Adam and Eve and the fall. And that's a story in many ways of a loss of innocence. It's a classic literary theme, the loss of innocence. Before that, they didn't know they were naked. Afterwards, they know they're naked. You wanted knowledge? Okay, there it is. You happy? You know, we get what we ask for. And so there's this loss of innocence. the perfection of the garden, the harmony between Adam and Eve and all of creation, the harmony with God and God's creation, and it's kind of destroyed by our willfulness, by our wanting to usurp God, to take God's place, to not be willing to just accept it all as gift, but we want to be in control. And you see how Jesus is the opposite of that. He accepts his sonship, which means a dependence upon the Father, and for some reason that doesn't seem to bother him. And in the Trinity, the Son is begotten by the Father, even though he is equal to the Father. And so we practice in Lent becoming sons and daughters, trusting through prayer and fasting in our true identity as children of God. In the early church, there were desert fathers and mothers, and there's a whole body of literature that most of us aren't all that aware of, but it's the stories of the prayer and fasting that those fathers and mothers did. And basically, historically, what happened is, in about 325, the Emperor Constantine made Christianity legal. And before that, it had been kind of a dangerous thing to be, and there were martyrs. But once Christianity became legal, within a couple of generations, it became sort of the religion of the empire. And you can imagine how that changes everything, to go from a persecuted minority to the majority who now have power and, you know, political and economic power. And it changes this Christian religion that had been poor and persecuted into the powerful persecutor. And so these desert men and women, they escape to the desert to try to live a more perfect life, to try to recover that desert experience. And the Old Testament's filled with that notion too, that the desert is the place where you need to be, because the city, the politic, you know, is dangerous. It can become an idol. It can become our God. And so you go out to the desert, to the wilderness, where they wandered for 40 years, for a lifetime, and they were formed by God without the influence of the city. Okay, so these desert fathers and mothers went out to the desert and spent their lives out there, just like those in the wilderness. And what were they doing? They were fasting and praying for a lifetime. They were solidifying their sonship and daughterhood. They were solidifying their identity as children of God. So here we are, the first Sunday of Lent, and we're going to wander out into the desert once again. We do this every year. And it's a metaphor. It's not literal. But the metaphor is strong, isn't it? The metaphor of withdrawing, coming back away from the world and its influences, and recognizing through fasting and prayer how attached I am to things that I shouldn't be making into gods. Recognizing how I'm as guilty as the rest. We're not pointing fingers at the evil world. We're saying, that's us. We're part of the world. And yet, we recognize that even more than being part of the world, we're part of the kingdom. We're part of God. And one of the themes of those desert fathers and mothers was divinization, that our human destiny is to become divine, not to usurp God or take over God like Adam and Eve wanted to do, but to be drawn up into the Trinitarian life, the Father, Son, and the Spirit, to experience that same love, that same security, that same abandon, because they're always dying for each other. And so we practice dying because we trust in living. Just like Jesus, who goes resolutely to his death on the cross because he trusts in the resurrection. So we too are willing to part from the world. We're willing to make ourselves a little bit more vulnerable. We're willing to die to ourselves because we believe that we are going to share forever in the very glory of Christ.